And we are talking now to two of the gender offenders, Peter Quince, the carpenter, and Johnny Cunningham. And the gender offenders are presenting a performance called Dirty, a queer mashup of ridiculous hotness, including drag, burlesque, circus, and other brave sex-positive theatrics. And that is on Friday and Saturday of this week at the Moving People Dance Center. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So this is the Gender Offenders. It's basically, as you told me before the radio show, it's not just like the male or female gender. It's kind of all genders.
Yeah, it's queer gender.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Well, we understand queerness is the full rainbow of gender expression and sexuality. It's inherently sex positive, body positive, and it's revolutionary in the face of convention and oppression. Queer performance itself is also revolutionary because it tosses out all the conventions and breaks any rules of first, of course, heterosexual gender, but also queering all standards for drag. It opens the windows to let the rainbow shine, and we open our throats to shout and make sweet song, belt out our truths, pretty and also very, very dirty. So we're going to just put our dirtiest dreams on a platter, and it will be delicious.
Serve them right up.
I just learned today that before I was talking to you guys that drag comes from like an 18th century expression that referred to men's skirts dragging on the ground. What is drag, which I thought was hilarious. What is drag to you guys?
That is hilarious.
Drag to me is the opportunity to perform a gender that I feel is more masculine to me than what I might be in the rest of my life. I feel like the opportunity from drag is to get out and, you know, it can be in the way you move, in the way you put on your clothes, you can pack, you can change the way your body looks, but it's mostly about, you know, showing that whatever my body is, I can put on this gender, and it's surprising to people.
Mm-hmm. I always wonder, I mean, it seems like sometimes in drag, like if you have a man playing a woman, he will do the most stereotypically super femme things, which, and I wonder, does that like break down gender or does it reinforce it?
Well, I think that it does both of those things. And I think that it, the intention of the performer can be so like so strong that it will leave the audience questioning those things. Something mm-hmm. so over the top and so silly, it'll just plant that seed in your mind. Like, how silly is this? The whole notion is so, you know.
Right. Well, the fact that gender is something that is performed
all
you
the
know,
time, every
all the
day.
Time.
What do you mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's the great author Kate Bornstein says gender is something you put on when you get dressed in the morning. So you know, we all have and are witness to in the products of our society telling us this is, you know, if you have this kind of body, this is what you look like as a guy, and this is what you're supposed to be wearing if you, you know, want to be a woman, this is how you're supposed to behave. But when you break it down, it's like individual choice, and we can do whatever we want.
We can queer our gender
yeah.
any minute, any day, any way.
And it's individual choice. It's also really inclination. Like, I sometimes watch 9-year-old girls who are so super, super girly. And they're not, I mean, yeah, maybe some of it is socialization, but they just, like, that's who they are. And then another 9-year-old girl is just a pure tomboy, and she's out there doing it. And it's sort of like, leave them alone to do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel, sometimes I think girls have more freedom than boys to kind of be anywhere they feel like along that spectrum.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think it's like, you really, it's deep stuff. It's deep stuff. You got to learn and read. And I'm still in the process of, you know, getting myself educated about and to break down some of the just stereotypes of what is masculine and what's acceptable from a man or a woman and people perceived as the in-betweens. And I think that you can
Blur those boundaries.
You can blur those boundaries,
any
exactly.
Any way you want, and that is part of that revolutionary expression.
Right.
All the time.
And then it's really powerful for people to see that on stage. It's really powerful to perform it and to work against all the mainstream representations that we're constantly inundated with.
Mm-hmm.
it's really radical, I think, to get on stage and do drag mm-hmm. for that very reason, especially, you know, being drag kings. And we really, like, it's part of our mission to stay away from, you know, misogyny or the, you know, to be reinforcing any stereotypes that further the oppression of men or women. And
also and any form anybody. Of oppression whatsoever. Cultural appropriation, cultural expression is very important as well, because all oppression is interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are really trying to empower our community as our audience to be silly and sexy and just make questions.
Mm-hmm.
Any standard that people are putting in front of you, is make a question about it, you know? And like, because it is just, it's all silly.
Tell us about the actual performance. Like, what will we maybe see?
Well.
Singing? Dancing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're going to see some live singing. You're going to see some circus. You're going to see some pretty hot drag acts. You're going to see some dance. And you're going to even see some Shakespeare, which we have been calling Shakesqueer internally. But yeah, and it's going to be, I mean, we really have collaborated a lot. I mean, the Gender Offenders are a communal group that has just, you know, put together all of our best intentions in this show. We've got, like, there's going to be lots of treats, some delicious mm-hmm. foods, and we're going to have a craft table that you can buy some awesome merch from some of our performers. And yeah.
And if I may ask a sort of gender question, do you have both drag queens and drag kings, so to speak, in the performance?
That and more, honestly.
That and more, yeah.
It's beyond even the two, you know? Always beyond the two. So.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Okay, mm-hmm. so we will wait to be surprised. What kind of audiences do you get? Do you get kind of like what might be called the queer community, or do you kind of, has it broadened out to kind of everybody, general audience?
Well, the show that we did last year at Moving People was sold out both nights, and we were so thrilled to have that happen. And so it seems to me that Santa Fe is definitely supporting us as a community. We're a community of queer folks, but we have a lot of allies as well, and we're so grateful for the support of everyone in Santa Fe and Albuquerque and all of New Mexico that support us.
Yeah, and I would say that even to people who don't identify as queer and who may identify as straight, I think it's like it's pure pleasure when you walk into the show. I think like this year it will be especially so, and that people from, you know, no matter who you are, like seeing somebody get on stage, seeing a group of people get on stage and be really honest, really courageous, really bring
and
something
really
from their heart.
Sexy.
And really sexy. It's just so appealing to all of the above. So I think our networks, especially, you know, with Facebook and people bringing friends, and, you know, we all have straight friends and stuff, and it builds and spreads and really reaches a diverse people.
Well, you know, and also, I mean, except for those of us who are doing what you guys are doing, which is really exploring this stuff in a creative and artistic way, I would say all of us have hidden sides of ourselves that we don't express that cross boundaries of gender. And to see somebody else doing that, no matter what your identification is kind of fun and liberating and mm-hmm. makes you kind of think about exploring yourself in other ways.
That's exactly what we want to be doing.
Yeah, we want people to come and, like, we want them to, you know, have a great time, first of all, you know, to, like, laugh and then, you know, get, sometimes, I think we've said before, laugh so hard you get turned on, you know, like, kind of surprise yourself. You're like, wow, I had no idea I would think that is sexy. And I think that drag can really do that, kind of get in your head and, like, you know, just, like, and especially, like, variant gender expressions can, like, affect you in ways you never would have guessed. And it is, like, it is surprising and refreshing.
I suppose the one time that people do that sometimes is on Halloween. They dress up as something completely different.
It's like their excuse.
Mm-hmm. And they get to act as something different, and it is in fact liberating. It can sometimes mess with your head.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, I mean, costume and performance, I mean, it does that, you know? You get to try something on for size. And, you know, you get to perform this thing that maybe is, like, you know, too hidden or too forbidden. And the dirty concept has, like, was this gateway for us to bring up all those things beneath the surface that you might want to just kind of keep hush-hush.
The world has changed. We're talking to the gender offenders, Peter Quince the Carpenter and Johnny Cunningham. And I think something that has changed a lot since, let's say, Stonewall, which was, what, 40-something years ago, is there is, I think, a lot more freedom to be whatever you are and express yourself in whatever way you want. There's also a long way to go. But when you think about oppression and when you think about a community like Santa Fe and what's going on in your own lives, what you've experienced yourself, where are we at? How much longer do we have to go? I mean, have you guys been, guys, gals, whatever you are, have been what you might think of as hassled for being how you are, expressing yourself the way you do?
Yeah, I definitely think that there's been a struggle in my life around that, you know. And I think that
what does that look like?
It looks like the face of oppression in all people's lives. I think that I feel like a terrible amount of compassion and interconnectedness with oppression as it manifests in everyone's lives.
I mean, do people say things to you that are obnoxious?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
And it is what it is. I think it's really interesting that you brought up Stonewall, because Stonewall was an amazing moment, and it is considered the kickstart of the gay rights movement, right? It's when the queer bars were completely illegal in New York City, and the police came in and busted them. They were mafia-run, and anyone who wasn't wearing 3 articles of clothing that belonged to their assigned gender would be arrested and brought in the paddy wagon.
Oh my goodness.
Well, one night, the night that Judy Garland had passed away in 1969, there was an uproar. And who fought back was the people of color, the drag queens, going down the street in their can-can lines, throwing high heels at the police. And so from its root, Stonewall is just a beautiful, beautiful beacon for me as a queer person to recognize that the strength of the movement comes from the margins. Like, queerness is not about assimilation. It is about revolution in the face mm-hmm. of convention and oppression, and is inherently so. And so I am deeply, deeply inspired by that. And it's dirty.
Amen.
Quince.
How do you envision the world that you would like to live in?
I envision a world where people are really, like, celebrated for their uniqueness, you know, on the topic of gender, whatever gender that is, you know, their unique way of expressing themselves and their ideas. One of my dear friends uses the word magical to describe mm-hmm. people, that we're all magical, and I envision a world where that is seen and respected and, you know, cultivated.
Absolutely.
I guess, and, like, you know, we just realize how special it is that we're all so different like that in terms of our gender, in terms of our sexuality, in terms of how we express ourselves and what we want to put out there and, you know, all our ideas.
And that there is no norm. There's no one standard of normal that everybody either is in line with or deviates with. If there's anything that I've learned from both the Kinsey studies and Dan Savage in his weekly column that we read here in The Reporter, is that we are all just different.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the norm.
Right. Yeah, unfortunately, I think norm in the sociological sense will always, like, in some ways exist. That, or as long as, mainstream, like, media and stuff like that always puts out a norm. They like to have a norm.
But
right,
it's
wrong.
False.
But it is contrived and...
It's quite lucrative, though.
Right.
I might add.
How's that?
Makes money.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how?
Well, if we're showing you that this is what, you know, a successful man looks like and, you know, watching that, well, we all want to be successful.
Yeah, it gives us standards to vie for as consumers, right. You know. It's like
right. Oh, okay. And so the norm is like... 25-year-old woman with perfect hair and skin and
right and like
and
married with children and, right. and has a house and like has a certain, you know, material mm-hmm. existence that we deem as successful, and those are prioritized more over like community and her
but you know
expression.
What
What?
Sometimes she even has some dirty thoughts in her mind when
right.
she goes to bed.
Exactly.
In the
no.
morning.
We all do. We yeah. all do. We mm-hmm. all we all question. We question ourselves. We question our relationships. I think that most people ask, like, at some point, in many points of life, like, what am I actually doing? You know, because it's real easy to get caught up in pursuing this image of success and, you know, but even those who, like, have the picture perfect are questioning. You know, maybe they have some desires that they question. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have some attractions they question. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have some real radical thoughts and, you know, that don't align with the political views of, you know, their peers. We question all the time.
Mm-hmm. Peter Quince the Carpenter and Johnny Cunningham are part of the ensemble called The Gender Offenders, and this weekend they are presenting Dirty, a queer mashup of ridiculous hotness, including drag, burlesque, circus, and other brave sex-positive theatrics. I love your title. It's fabulous. And that's Friday and Saturday at 7:30 at Moving People Dance Center, which is at 1583 Pacheco Street here in Santa Fe. And the tickets are on a sliding scale, and no one is turned away for lack of funds. You can get your tickets at the door. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.